Okay. Turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I am wearing the headpiece he gave me. I remember the very first time I wore a headpiece with a microphone on it. It was at a church that looked similar like this in Haines City, Florida. And I was visiting at a church and preaching. My daughter was about 5 years old. And I went to the back and I put it on and went back and sat beside her. And this was before phones. This is when they had coloring books. And I sat down and she was coloring. And she looked up and saw it around my face and looked right back down, looked up and said, "I'll take a cheeseburger and French fries." Just like that, just because I felt like I was working at McDonald's or something at that point. And I still never got really used to them, but I'll do my best to preach this morning with it on. 1 Corinthians, I said 2 Corinthians, didn't I? I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we'll be. I've been praying about what God would have me give today. And to be honest with you, I think what he's given me is good for both sets here, the church and the teams. Because if you really think about it, we're all kind of trying to do the same thing. You're trying to build your church, and we're trying to build an athletic program. And God's kind of laid this on my heart where I believe that both groups can get something from this. So if you have found 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll be reading the first five verses and be giving you my thoughts from it. Paul here is writing to the church of Corinth. And this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or a man's judge. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light and the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels and the hearts, and they shall every man praise of God." If God would help me this morning and through the Holy Spirit, I would love to give the thought about being a faithful servant for Christ. Just being a faithful servant for Christ. Paul here in this letter that he is writing to the Christian church of Corinth, and the church of Corinth was in a bad mess. If you really look at what Paul has laid out in this letter up to this point, he is really trying to lay out some things and help the church. The church is going through so many things, and he's even in this letter that he's told them that I would love to give you more than what I'm giving you, but you can't get off the milk, you can't get to the meat, because you're really immature. And he's getting to this point, and when he gets to chapter 4, he's dealing with a very delicate situation. There were people in the church that were judging different leaders for different abilities and different effectiveness. And there were people that was picking different people that they wanted to follow. There were people in the church that were blessed and encouraged by Apollos, and they were wanting to follow him. They were in the church and they were supporting him. There was other ones in the church that were supporting Caiaphas, and that's who they were supporting. And there were some in the church that were supporting Paul, and what Paul is saying is this right here: this is not helping the church. We're not unified. We're not doing what we're supposed to do because we're picking sides and we're doing all these different things. And Paul here uses the word that we use so many times, but it was very interesting when I did some word studying on it. In verse 1, he says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ." It is very interesting when you look up the word minister there. Paul is using a Greek word, herpodiades, which means under rower. My guys were reminded of this very gently yesterday after the game of what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that we as Christians, we are to be under rowers. And when we use the word under a rower today, that is not something that we would use because we don't know the concept of what he's talking about. See, most of the time when they were trying to go from one place to another in a ship, they had three levels to it. You had the upper level, which is where the wealthy or the people that was in society that everybody wanted to look at and everything, and they were up there. They paid the money. They paid the fare. They were on top of the deck where everybody could see them. Then you had the middle deck where that there was people that was not in the upper class, that were not in the lower class, but they could be in the middle, on the lower middle deck. And certain times of the day, they could go up for people to see them. But what Paul is saying here is if we're going to be faithful and if we're going to be effective, we got to be on the bottom deck. We have to be the under rowers. These were the people that were under the ship. They were on the bottom deck. There was one with the oars, and they were the ones getting the ship from point A to point B. It was not the ones on the upper deck. It was not the ones on the middle deck. It was the ones that was on the bottom deck. It was the ones that nobody saw. It was the ones that nobody even knew. Listen, most of the people on the upper deck didn't even give thought until they had to. And when they did give thought about it, they didn't like the people on the bottom deck. They didn't understand the importance that it took for the people on the bottom deck. Let me tell you what I have appreciated about this church that I've already been here. Your pastor and your wife have both separately said this, not together, that this church is full of under rowers. That this church is full of people that are willing to be on the bottom deck and get the job done when nobody else will do it. You know, I gently explained this to my guys yesterday. Do you know that most of the time, like even at Welch College, we give no thought, we walk across the yard at Welch College, and we give no thought that somebody's had to mow that yard. We go to the restrooms and we give no thought that somebody's had to clean that restroom. We give no thought that somebody's even had to put toilet paper in the right place, put soap dispensers in the right place, that somebody had to do these things. And we don't give thought to the people that have worked and done this. And what Paul is saying, that is if we're going to be effective, we're going to have to be the people that work on the bottom deck. And sometimes you're not going to be praised for it. Sometimes you're not going to be noticed. The greatest Christian man that I have ever met is a guy that I love dearly. His name is Jimmy Staggs. He is over 80 years old. He lives in Plant City, Florida. He was in the church I pastored. The man should have both hips replaced, both knees. It is painful to watch him walk. But I'm telling you something. He is someone that has spent years and years and years on the bottom deck. Do you know that I was explaining this to him, that so many times when we pastored there, we couldn't get over the hump, and all of a sudden we just kind of, after about 3.5 years ago, we just kind of got over it and our church started growing and things going well. But you know what people didn't see? That Jimmy Staggs, for 480 straight days without a break at over 80 years old, come to that church every night by himself, and maybe one or two other people come, but of 480, he's come to that church and he got on that altar and he prayed for that church. He did that without anybody knowing it. He did that without people. He didn't tell people about it, and I'm going to tell you right now, the faithfulness of him is what caused our church to grow. I believe that God answered his prayers because he was willing to be on the bottom deck. He was willing to do what he needed to do. It's also very interesting in verse 1 that he said this right here. Look at us, what he says, let so man account. He's giving a mathematical or a bookkeeping term here to say that we need to take inventory if we're a person that's willing to go to the bottom deck. If you're in the church, are you willing to look at your life to say, maybe I'm trying to be on the upper deck sometimes. I need to go to the bottom deck. If you're on a team, are you willing to go to the bottom deck? And are you willing to do the job that nobody else knows that you're doing? Are you willing to be the person that picks the uniforms up and puts them in the right place? Are you willing to be the one in the game that does the things in the stats that nobody sees? Are you willing to be that person? And that's what he said. Let me give you three things from this passage about being an under rower that I found that was encouraging. Number one, he said that a God, an underoar for God, is someone that rose in spite of their circumstances. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found eloquent? No. That a man be found rich? No. That a man be found educated? No. What did he say? That a man be found faithful. And if you're ever going to do something for Christ, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to take even outside of that, if you're ever going to do anything that's successful, you better be a person that will be faithful in the small things. And you better be a person that will be faithful in spite of your circumstances. I try to tell the young people when I taught high school, and I try to tell them this right here, listen to this, you don't know how blessed you are, number one, to be young. Number two, to have energy. Number three, to not have the greatest responsibility called paying bills. But I will tell you in life, and you know this as an adult, most of you, life is hard. And listen to this, if you're only going to be faithful when you feel like it, you're not going to be faithful a lot of times. And this is what Paul is saying, that you need to be faithful in spite of your circumstances. You need to be faithful, listen, when things don't go well. You need to be faithful when things go well. Listen, you need to be faithful no matter what. I thought of this. Do you know they were faithful in bad weather? The captain did not say, listen to this, guys, we're going to have some bad weather, so you can just take it easy. You don't have to row hard right now. As a matter of fact, I will tell you this. Do you know when they probably had to row the hardest? During the storms. And so many times, that's when we take a break and we don't work as hard. When life hits us in the mouth and things don't go well. And that's not what Paul is saying here. He says, you must be found faithful. And it's interesting, he doesn't give a but there or except. He said this right here, moreover is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, period. He says, you be faithful no matter what. You be faithful when the weather is bad. You be faithful when the task is hard. It didn't matter what they had to do. They, listen to this, they had one job, and it was to row. No matter what their circumstances come their way, no matter what happened to them, they had to row. They had a job, and that's what they had to do. They were faithful in this. They did not care what other people said. I recently read of one of our Free Will Baptist missionaries years ago named Pop Willie. People might have heard this or heard of him. And he wrote home one day, and this is what he wrote to someone home at home. This is what he said. The work is hard, and I'm out working all day long trying to perform my duties. At night, I sleep in areas that's not comfortable. The people here don't seem much interested in the gospel message I bring, and sometimes the enemy attacks me with discouragement and tries to convince me that all I have done is a failure. But I take courage and press on, for I remember that God doesn't hold me responsible for my success, but only my faithfulness. That's what Paul is saying here. He is saying here that we must remain faithful in our circumstances. We must remain faithful when things don't go right in our life. How many of you have ever seen the, not the remake, I don't like, how many of you are like me, you don't like remakes of movies, you like the originals? How many of you have ever watched the original vacation movie with Chevy Chase in it? That's way before most of your time. That movie was made after my family's life. When I was 6 years old in East Tennessee, my family decided that we were going to go to California on a family vacation, five of us in a one car. We're no exaggeration with this. We spent more time in wreckers being pulled the car than we did in the car, in hospitals. Nothing went right on that trip. Not one thing went right. I remember a lot of bad things, but I remember doing one thing. We went to the Yellowstone National Park. And you know what? I've read that there are some great different sites there, but there is one thing at Yellowstone National Park that is the most famous. Does anybody know what it is? Anybody? It's called Old Faithful. Do you know what? I remember looking at that, and then I went back and read it. Do you know that it's not the biggest one in the park? Do you know it's not even the prettiest one in the park? But you know what is the most popular? Because it's faithful. And that's what Paul is saying here. He is saying that you need to roll in spite of your circumstances. And one of the keys is you must be faithful. Look at verses 3 and 4. Let me give you the second one. It says this. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing of myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He justified me as the Lord. This is the second thing he says this right here. You don't only roll because despite your circumstances, you roll despite your criticism. You roll despite your criticism. Here's what I've found in over 23 years of being in the ministry. And I count everything I do as a ministry. When you decide to do something for God, or you decide to do anything at all, you're going to have people criticize you. Because everybody can do your job better than you. Everybody can raise your kid better than you can raise your kid. And everybody wants your job. The problem with that is, I have found this right here, they don't even do their job. But they want to criticize you on your job. And do you know what Paul is saying here? He is saying, I am not going to stop and listen to you people that criticize me. I am only interested in what God has for me to do. He is basically saying this right here. I don't have time to stop and answer everybody's criticism because I am trying to do what God wants me to do. And if I stop and answer you and I'm not answering to God, then I can't get done what God wants me to do. And there is going to be times in your life when you decide to do something for God or you try to do something for anything, there's going to be people that criticize you. And first of all, you need to remember that most of the time, they're not even good at what they're supposed to do. So you don't need to worry about what they think. I've noticed that a lot of times on teams, I have very seldom had somebody on a team stand up and really mean it. This is on me. I messed up. But you know what we do most of the time? We're very good at pointing out what other people do wrong. And we do that in the church a lot of times. And this is what Paul is saying, that if you're in God's will, you're doing what he wants you to do. Just keep doing it. Don't worry about what other people say. I am sure that at this church, there is people that says, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you keep going to that church? Or why do you keep going to that school? Why do you keep doing that? I remember when my wife and I had just, matter of fact, we had not even got married yet. We was planning our honeymoon, and we were getting married on August the 12th, and I got a job offer at a Christian school in Florida and a youth pastor position. The only catch of it all was I had to start work on August the 15th. So we got married on a Saturday, and our honeymoon was driving to Florida to start work. And I remember people, listen, when we moved to Florida, we didn't know a person. We didn't know we knew Will Beauchamp, that was it. And I remember my family criticizing, and why in the world are you moving? You can move back to Tennessee, you can do this. Why are you moving 12 hours away? Why are you doing that? And the only thing I could say is, I don't know it, why, but I know that it's what God wants me to do. And I remember telling my wife, we're only going for 1 year. 22 years later, we finally move out of Florida. And I can't tell you that so many times that people, listen, they criticized us for not making as much money or doing this or sacrificing or this. Do you know, listen to this, even this week I got criticized by schools that I coached against this week. I got one crack coach who criticized me because he said, I can't believe that you drove up here. You're driving back, you're preaching, and you're doing all this. Your school needs to do this, and your school needs to do that, and your school needs to do that. And I looked at him and said, obviously you don't know my school. We don't operate like everybody else. The president will take out his own trash. That's just who we are. At another school that, listen to this, they take shortcuts. They don't do things right. This is not something I ever would do nor care about. You know what I say? No, thank you. We'll just keep doing it the way that we're doing it. And I'm not dumb. I know that some of these kids, listen to this, this is weird to them that we go on a ball trip and we go to a church and everything. And listen to this, I'll let it be weird because you know what my prayer is? In 15, 20, 25 years down the road, they're standing behind a pulpit. They're staying in a Sunday school room. They're doing these things. Listen to this, I am not in it for right now. I'm in it for 5, 10 years down the road. So I'm not going to stop and listen to critics tell me that we're doing it wrong. Because we're going to do what God wants us to do. So you roll in spite of your circumstances. You roll in spite of your critics. Number 3 in verse 5, if you read it, he says, basically, I'm rowing inside of my captain. I'm doing this because this is what God wants me to do. Listen, it's not popular always to do what God wants you to do. And it's not always easy. But you do it because God wants you to. I read this week or a couple weeks ago when I reviewed this. I preached this message a couple times before and I read it again. Do you know the most hated people on the ship were the people on the bottom? Because most of the time we don't like people or that we don't understand. And it was weird that they would be on the bottom of the ship and they would row and be working and doing all this. But do you know what I found when I read this out? Do you know where the captain spent most of his time? On the bottom of the ship. He was not really concerned about the people on the top of the ship because they were not the people that getting it to where they needed to go. He wanted to be where the work was done. They rowed inside of the captain. They rowed when, listen to this, they rowed because the captain was there. But you know what I found? You know what the number one job the captain did? Do you know what he wanted more importantly than anything when he was on that bottom deck and he was down there? This is what he kept saying. You gotta row in harmony. Guys, listen to me. You better row in harmony. Church, you better row in harmony. That's what the captain was doing. He was rowing and he was telling them, listen, he would have the cadence. He had everything. And he didn't want some rowing fast and some rowing slow. He didn't want them, listen, he wanted to make sure they all was rowing together so they can what? Get to where they were supposed to be. You see, church, here's the thing about it is this. If this church or any church or this program or any college is going to get to where we need to be, we're going to have to crawl on the bottom deck. We're going to have to do things that's hard. We're going to have to row when we don't feel like rowing. We're going to have to row when people tell you to stop. And you're going to have to row because that's what God wants you to do. I remember when I was very little, there was a bombing. Ronald Reagan was president. And there was a bombing in Lebanon, and it was a Marine barracks. And hundreds of young men were killed and wounded. A few days after this accident, the commander of the Marine Corps, Paul Kelly, visited some wounded in a hospital in Frankfurt, Germany. When he was there, he walked by a soldier's bed, and the soldier's name was Jeffrey Lee Nashton. He was a corporal, and he was severely injured in the bombing. And the commander stopped and looked at him, and they said you could barely even recognize him as a human. He had tubes running everywhere off of him. And then when he communicated, he had to whisper it, and somebody wrote it down. And he tried to say something, and the commander stopped, and he looked at the nurse and said, what did he say? And the nurse knelt down, and she wrote it down and handed it to him. And on the note, it simply said, Semper Fi. Here was a man that was serving his country, and a terrorist attack almost took his life, took his friend's life, and his words were always faithful. Always faithful. My question this morning is very simple to the church, and it's very simple to the young men and women here today. When God looks at us, can he say that? Always faithful. Can he look at my life and say, listen, you're faithful? There's people telling you to stop rowing. There's people telling you you're never going to get it to where it needs to go. But listen, but you're staying the course. When things get tough and things gets hard, you still row. You still do what you're going to. Listen to this. Things in life is not always going to be easy. And I'm going to tell you right now, by our standards, they're not always going to be fair. But I can tell you right now, it wasn't fair what they did to Jesus. And it wasn't fair what they've done to Paul and Peter and these ones that went before us and that built the church and the early church. It wasn't fair for them either. And it wasn't fair for your grandparents that have stood in the gap and helped hold the church together. Do you know what my prayer is for this church? That in 15, 20 years from now, that this church is full and they look back and they look at you all and they say, you are the ones that was faithful. Let me give you some encouragement, church. How many of you last year went with me to my home church up in East Tennessee? It was about 40 or 50 years ago, they were exactly like this. There was in a transition. And there were some young men and women, and men and women of that church, that decided they were going to row, and they were going to stay together. And now that church is growing, and it's thriving. And you know what the thing is? I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of people don't even remember the names of the people that stood in the gap. But you know who does? God. God. Young people, let me share this with you really quick. We travel on a nice bus, cramped but nice. We stay in hotels. We eat good food. And you don't even know the little old lady's name in Georgia that gives $10 a month to the college. That's all she's got. Or the young, old, retired preacher in Alabama that gives $10 a month. That's all they got. And we'll never know their name. But they're rowing the ship. We're reaping the benefits of that. You see, understand something. As you get ready and you go out in this community, they don't know there's people here steering the ship, rowing the boat. They're being faithful. There's people counting on us being faithful. And I'm going to share this with you. The last thing is this right here. Every one of us in this room have loved ones that are lost. And they depend on us to stay faithful and not give up when things are tough. Or people criticize. We do it because the captain demands it. Lord, we love you. Lord, we ask these words that I did so feeble attempt to use today. Lord, we ask you, Father, that you use them for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, help us to be challenged by you. We ask your spirit to fall in our hearts so that we can do more for you. And it's your holy name we pray. Amen.